session number 11190, reel 5.
Guarnieri, reel 5.
So when we start working lumberjacking, it was hard work, so we said, look, we must have some wine, because in the camp we wouldn't get any wine. Though we were making, I'll have to go back a bit more in the camp, we were making our own wine, because this is very interesting. We were getting, we had a canteen, so when our money arrived, we had like a banking account in the canteen. You see, we used to get chit like, you see, not money, but chit. So we start making wine with raisin, you know, the dry grapes, you see, start making wine. Then from there, from the rest, we start making grappa, you know, snap. Because we made our own distillery, we made. But of course, some of them got a bit cheeky and started drinking a bit more and started going around the camp and singing where the sentry was. But this went on for quite a couple of years. So the officer said, "Who's passing drinks to the internee?" Because, you know, there is some drunk, and some of the guards must report it. So they said, we must keep an eye on the sentry, see which one is that is passing drinks into the camp. Anyway, he went on for a long time, and they saw no sign, people still a bit drunk, so they said, well, how do they make wine then? How do they get wine or got what? How do they make it? But they could, because one day they come in, they surrounded one hut. The officer come in, the major officer, and six or seven sentries, they come in. They put two or three in one hut, two or three in the other. They went in, searched everywhere. They couldn't find nothing. Went to the other huts. Anyway, they searched everything. They couldn't find nothing. One of my friends, he had bottled wines under the altar. He was saying, "Jesus will protect my wine." So we made, in the yard, because they had to make the yard where it was a bit on a slide, so that when the storm used to come, the water would wash away. So at the beginning of the slide, there used to be about 3 or 4 yards where the ground, it was almost touching the ground, you see, the yard, almost, only about that much. So on the side of the yard, there was all the settees, you know, benches. There was benches to sit down, for us to sit down. So in there we made a trap door, a trap to go under the earth. So all the earth that he was digging up, we was putting it in the garden. At night time we used to chuck it outside the window into the garden. So like that we built the canteen in underground, we built. And there with this trap, you all we had to do is just to pull it up, because we had some carpenters there, he was doing it perfectly, you couldn't see it. Of course, the major was going mad because he couldn't find nothing. So one day, they called in the intelligence service. So the intelligence service, he couldn't find. Then he had an idea. "I'll go and have a look, see what went through the canteen." Of course, he looks at the books and he saw cases and cases of Sultan. So, this is really funny. The cases of Sultana, of course, then he said, this is very good. So he called the elite, he said, "Hey, come, what you doing with all these Sultanas?" Of course, the elite, I said, "Oh, they tumbled it now." He said, "Well, Italians make a lot of panettone." You know, the panettone, they're crazy. "We make Sultana pudding because we lived in England so many times." So the Italian service says, "Do you know how many Sultana pudding you can make?" "And panettone with all these cases." Right, he said, "From now on, so many cases per camp a month, that's all you're going to get." When we went to Love Day, there we were living in tents. We didn't go. Love Day is in Adelaide. We were living in tents. Guido Baldi.
Is this when you went on the forestry?
No, when we were still in turn. That's why I said we have to go back. when we were in the Guido Baldi, he had a tent for working, because he was, even there, we had to start all over again for the church, so he had to do some more work. But he said, it's my birthday, he said, coming, he says, and I want to give all the youngsters a drink. So he made some wine. There was a major, the Australian major, we used to call him Patchy, because he had a white patch hair on his head. He wasn't very nice to us. He was the only one that he wasn't very nice. And he would spy on us, you see. Always with glasses, you know, looking. Of course, we didn't know. And he saw Guido Baldi when he bottled the wine through this tent where he was working. And when he finished bottling, he dug the sand and put the bottles inside the sand so that it keep fresh. And when he says it's ready within a, you know, few months, when it's my birthday, I'll give a drink to the youngsters. So Patchy come in one day with the sentry, and he said, hello, he said, what, I hadn't been noticing you always working here in this tent. So he said, yes, I got permission because I'm doing some work for the church. So, yeah, and he had a stick, and with the stick they kept on things, you know. And then he said, what have you got underneath this sand? With the Baldi, he said, nothing. He said, well, we'll have a look. So he said to the sentry, just dig up a bit there with your hand. So he dig up, and there was about 12 bottles of wine. He said, what's this? Well, he says, you might as well know. And he says, now that you've seen it, it's wine. He says, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not breaking the law. I'm not doing anything wrong. Would you make it this with Sultana? Don't you know it's no good for you? You know, there's all these excuses. So he said, well, we always drank it. He hasn't done me any harm. No. He said, bring it up, he said, to the sentry. He brought it up, and then he said, go and get the barrel and take it away. So he's there right in front of the tent, because Guido Baldi came out, because it was warm inside the tent. He came out, and home. I don't know if Lubeskisa would have told you, probably forgot. So Louis said, get him talking. Facing that way. So we had two doctors and all. So they were saying to him, do you realize that even your prisoner of war in Italy, we are internee, which we are civilian internee, we should get better treatment. But in Italy, even the prisoner of war get a drink. They give him wine. And us, that we are internee, we can't drink. You never give us a drink. We're not allowed to drink. I said, no, because we're making it a bit our own. And Bischisi went round the back. You know, he's a small man. He lifted up the flap with another, and he went in slowly. He was like a little mouse, you know. I'm sorry I got there. He was going slowly, you know, getting bottom, passing away. Called your lot. And he was laughing in his face. So when he got all that wine away, when the sentry came with the barrel, so he said, go and get it, he said. So the sentry came back, he says, officer, what did you tell me to get? He said, that wine. There's no wine there. Well, I never, he said. I thought the Italian was slimy, but I didn't think they were so slimy as this. Anyway, he said, if I'll find out whoever done that, he says, I'll give him 6 months in prison. When we left Adelaide, of course, he saw us off, the Patchy, but Lou could never keep anything down. When the train started going, because he knew we used to call him Patchy. He said, Patchy, you want to know it? You took the wine. It was me. So anyway, when we got back then to the forester, we said to the forester officers, look, we're not interned anymore. We want a drink. We'll pay for it. He said, no, because then there'd be trouble with what? I said, well, in that case, we're not going to work. If you think there'd be trouble, look, let us get the drink first. The first trouble we have between us, you'll stop the wine. you don't let us give us the permit no more. Is that fair enough? So he said, all right, I'll give you one week trial. So he said, you'll have to go a certain place. So the one who was taking the wood away that was cut, he had a lorry. We go and get it. So we went in the place. So I said, is it a vineyard? Oh, he says, it's a big place. He said, it's got a lot of wines there. It's an old cellar. And we went in the place. It was a small place, it was. We said, well, it's not much of a place. We went there. Then we went downstairs, like a cellar. And it was long downstairs, you know, like a tunnel. And he had all these oval barrels, you know, those oval ones, but long, you know. My God. He said, well, you taste that. Anyway, he started giving us some wine, but some of it was very strong, you know, a lot of alcohol. So we said, no, look, we don't want this. We're working, and we wanted a wine that has got about 10 or so, but if it's got 12 or 13 grade, then alcohol, then it's too much for us. We can't do any work. And then it's too hot. You know, when it's so warm, you don't want it. So anyway, all right, then you want just ordinary table wine. So we said, yes, that's what we want. So we brought three barrels. On the way back, this driver said, there is a pub here. He says, if you like a glass of beer, we'll stop. So we said, all right. Well, a pub, it was a hut. There was two old women. All what they had, it was beer. But really two old women. A hut there, you know, proper chicken hut. We had a beer. And we went back. The flap of the lorry went down at the back. And we lost one barrel. Oh, he said, don't worry, we'll find it. Anyway, we went back. Then we saw it in the middle of the road. But then the circuit knew how to do it. I said, are we going to get it now on top of the thing? Oh, that's easy. He took the hatchet. They always got the hatchet, those people. And the hatchet, he got bring two trees, put them sideways, and two of us, we rolled this barrel on top. And then we went back and we start drinking again.
So you got it for your forestry work?
So we got it for that.
You were going to say, but I asked you about women. Was this? Oh, yes.
So then maybe after a bit, there was a fella that came home. There was a farmer next to us. And we said to him, we said to the forestry, look, we're not used to having, because though we were Italian, but we still like a cup of tea. We said, look, we like tea, but we like the fresh milk. We don't like the powder like we were getting in the camp. Surely there must be a farm somewhere around there. So he said, yes, there is, on about a mile away. If you want to get the fresh milk, you can go. Anyway, so we got friendly there, and we used to go and get milk and eggs. We go. And then this boy, he had a friend, and he was just coming from Tobruk, coming back. Right? When he went to see him, he came to see us. And he taught us how to sing Marlin because he was playing the trumpet. He says, oh, I've learned a beautiful song. He says, you might hear it. You know, the song Marlin. How does he go, that Marlin song?
Lily Marlin.
Oh, he says, it's beautiful. It's fantastic. So I says to Monday, I said, but don't you ever go dancing? So he says, yes, I go dancing. I said, you know, I said, I haven't shaken hands with a woman, I said, for about 5 years. I says, I would like to go dancing if it's possible. I said, I'll see if I can get the permission from the officer. So he said, well, I know the officer, I'll tell him. So he saw the officer and he said, look, he says, I'm going to a dance, a local dance. Well, local, it was about 10 miles away. And he said, I'd like to bring, I made friends with Gino. Can I take Gino with me? Well, he says, you know, he shouldn't. Well, he says, you know him by now. I go, he'll go with me, come back with me. I'll be responsible for him. So he said, all right. So we went there dancing, but they were doing all this old time dancing, these Australians. So I couldn't do them, you know, so I stopped there. So no. Then all the Sunday done a dance that I could do it. So I went over to a young lady and I said, can I have this dance? She said, yes. And when I put my arms around her, I thought I was going to break her in half. She seemed so tender, so fragile, that we were rough and tumble in the camp, you know, playing footballs and punching each other, you know what youngsters are. And to touch a woman, you know, just to have my arms around her, I thought, I was afraid, you know, to bring her close to me, because I thought I was going to break her in half. I thought, oh, what a sensation, you know, to feel, you know, the touch of a woman. You know, as you said about that. I said, my God, I forgot really what a woman was like, you know. So different to a man, you know, when you feel her, you know, when you touch her, I think. So different. And it was then that I really realized, you know, the difference there was, you know, just so they're much so sensitive they were. I thought, oh my God, I said, I hope I go back to London quickly.
Well, did anyone ever try to escape from any of the camps, you know, any of the Italians?
No, they tried, the Germans tried once in Adelaide. They
that was tried. Your second camp?
Yes, the second Adelaide? Camp, yes. Yes.
Well, did that differ very much from your first one?
Well, the other one, it was very sandy. You used to get this heat storm. It was warm, and there was actually no air at all, and you used to get this storm that, oh, that sands, like if you were in the desert.
That was at Tatura?
No, at Loveday.
Loveday. That was near Adelaide.
That's right, near Adelaide. Mm. Yeah, it was more out in the wild, I would say.
Why did they move you there?
Well, I suppose to bring them, break the monotonous, otherwise in case you get too fraternized with the sentries. You know, in case, you know, you get to know your way about. But where could you have gone in Australia? Even if you wanted to run away, where could you have gone? We were miles away. I mean, they would have spot us in no time.
The other thing I was going to ask was, you know, you were saying when Italy got out of the war and, you know, your situation altered. Was that a great moment when you heard Italy was out of the war? You know, I wonder how you all reacted to that. Would it have been important for you to know that Italy was no longer in the war?
Oh, it was important. Yes, it was really important. That, so at least now we are free. And we can go home and start all over again. Because 5 years, it's a long time. Especially when you're young. When you're old, it seems that time goes quicker. But when you're young, it seems a lifetime, 5 years. So we was hoping, you know, to be able to go back and pick up our pieces again and start all over again. So when I come back, I was about 31.
And this forestry work, what, you know, did you enjoy doing that? Was there any satisfaction in doing this forestry?
Well, the first few days, for those who was, I was so lucky, I was doing the cooking. So I had to give them breakfast in the morning, porridge and things like that, egg, ham and eggs, no, bacon and egg. Porridge first, bacon and egg, bread and marmalade, you know, English breakfast. Then I had to get up very early in the morning because I had to make sandwiches for them for when they were, I had somebody helping me. There were two of us. But then once they were away, until 5 o'clock at night, I was there by myself. It reminded me of the jungle because there was a river coming. You know those curved rivers that you see in a jungle? And sometimes some of the trees that fell down, they were there for years. But huge trees, you know. They were there for years, and you could hear, you know, some animals and some. There was a lot of possums around there. There was goannas. There were some goannas around there. A noise. But to me, it seems like if with this noise, like absolutely, if I was in the jungle, you know, sleeping on the tents, you know, like if it was the jungle, it was. And then 5 o'clock, they used to come home, but. They weren't very pleased because especially those that weren't used to it, of cutting trees, and then they had to get this log and put them on the lorry. They all come back, they all look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. They all come back with their head, blisters in their hands, their head. So in the end, I had to build fires and make some hot water for them, you know, to have a good bath, to have a shower. Well, we used to have those bucket showers, you know. They gave us some those bucket with holes. You just hang them up in your, with the tap on. I used to go on there. You'd be surprised, out of a bucket, if you don't let it run very fast, how much water they, you know, if you let it run nice and, because they had very fine holes, you know, it seems if it never finished. It went a long way.
And did you get paid during this time?
Yes, we were getting paid. Yeah. Same as the Australians. So they said. But we were satisfied. But we were paying for our own food. I had to go and do all the buying. And then, in the end of the week, there was so much eats to pay. So I thought the best thing it was that when I done the buying, I wouldn't pay for it. I would make somebody else to do all the account because I didn't want nothing to do but money in case they were saying I'm charging too much or I'm making money on them. I don't think they would have done that because they knew me. But to keep things on the level so like that, there would be no interference. Wine, yes, because I had to go and pay for it. But we knew how many bottles coming out of you know, out of a gallon, so they knew how much it was, so the water was paying. So whoever wanted it was 10 pence a bottle. So I used to sell it 10 pence a bottle. So they had, I couldn't make any money even if I wanted to, because that was the price, and that's it.
But you were, were obviously, you know, meeting quite a few Australians. How did you get on with the Australians generally?
Well, we never met many.
Oh,
at the milkman first, at the farm, when I went there, the forestry spoke to them. There is a gentleman, one of the woodcutters, they're going to come here and they're going to buy you some milk off you. He'll pay you weekly, monthly, whatever you want it. He'll tell you how many he wants. He says, is it all right if he wants any eggs or things? So he said, yes, it'll be all right. So I knocked at the door when I went there. So a man came out, rough looking. He says, how much milk did you say you want? So I said, there's so much. All right. He says, wait, I'll go and get it. So he went to get it. He gave it to me. Right. It went on for 2 or 3 weeks. And then I said, we're bad pain. All right, he says, I'll bring you out the bill. So he brought me out the bill, and he paid me. And I thought, oh my God, he's not very friendly. So after a while, next time, he said, would you like to come in? So I said, no, I'm all right outside. No, please come in. So I said, no, I'm in Ari tonight. I said, another night. So the next night, when I went there and get the milk, he said, I'm sorry, he said, the way I've treated you in the last 3 or 4, you know, these 3 or 4 weeks. He said, I'm really ashamed of myself now to see what, because my son used to come down on Sunday to have a swim with you boys, you know, because he used to swim in that river. And he told me how nice people you were. He said, but I was a bit afraid at first, because we had another load of woodcutters once upon a time, and we had troubles with them. So I don't know what nationality they were. He says, and you being Italians, we thought that you were worse with the other lot. So he says, well, I didn't ask you to come in. He says, but now when my son told me, he says, please come in and forgive me. Now he says, any time you want a pig or a lamb, just let me know. You don't have to go to the butcher. You can get it off me. So we got it on all right. Then after a couple of months, we said, look, there was a place called Picelba, the town. A town, a village. It was a quite a big village, a big place. So they said, we'd like to go to town. I said, look, we're not prisoner of war anymore. We're in Tunis waiting to go back home because there is no space on the ship. Otherwise, we are free men. So he said, all right, then I'll get a coaster, come and get you. Every 2 weeks you can go down. We'll get a coaster, come, he'll pick you up and he'll take you down. Of course, you pay for it because we have to pay for everything. So we used to go in the village, but we got in on all right there. Yeah, fine. But everybody, because they knew the voice soon go around in those places, that they were, you know, Italians, lumberjackers.
Did you ever form relationships with the women, you know, the Australian women? Did some of the boys, you know, sort of settle down with them? Or
yeah. One of them that he was wood cutting with us, he didn't come back. He stopped over there.
Did it tempt you at all, Australia?
It did, but I was very attached to my family. Because there was a man there named Gully, he had a lot of money, and he had the shares in Australia as well. He was a big shot, I think, you know, he had plenty of money. But he was old, I suppose he was 65, 70. He had nobody. And he said once, me and Pete, the one who's paralyzed, you know, he was on a chair, he said, you and Gino, he said, if you like, he says, I'll open up a restaurant in Australia. We make free shares. You don't have to put out anything. And we make free shares. And you run the place how you like it. The money's there. Because it was very tempting. So we wrote to Mr. The liaison officer.
Mr. Julian Layton?
Yeah. We asked him if he'd give me permission to come out of the lumberjacking and go there, and I thought I'd give a trial. So he said, no, you left until the armistice is over, you cannot open up business or anything like that. You cannot. You can stop in our, make, you know, the ask to be released in Australia, to live there, because you can if you want to, if you don't want to go back. But until the armistice, everything is finished, you cannot go in business on your own. Then so I thought, oh, well, I said, I already got half a business in London. God knows how he's going to go here. And then it's already 5 years I haven't seen my family. If I start a business here, God knows when I'll be able to go back again in Europe. So I thought, no, I'll go back. So I was tempted, and at the other end, it was too far away. It was too far away. To me, it seems absolutely the other end of the world, it seems.
So when were you allowed to come back, Gino?
I think we done lumberjack in 9 months. We done. I've got still the passport over there. The Australian made me. I'll show it to you after. And there is the date that when I came back.
Was that very different coming back to Britain, you know, from your trip on the Dunera? Was it a very different occasion?
Oh, yes, it was very different.
Did you all come back together, the Italians?
No, not all together, no.
Did you have to wait a long time, you know, to take your turn on the transport back? You know, was it after the war had finished?
No, it was still going on. The war in Europe, it was still going on. As a matter of fact, when we came back, there were still some soldiers coming, you know, from New Zealand. No, not New Zealand. Was it? Yes, New Zealand. We had to pick up some soldiers from New Zealand, and there were some Australians. And some, there was about 200 housewives that left Singapore when Singapore were falling, and they went to Australia. And now this wife, that they saw the war almost, it was finishing, so they were coming back again to England. They were coming back.
Were you worried at all about enemy shipping on the way back?
Well, we were still scared. We were still scared. Matter of fact, there was me, Peter Biskisa and my brother-in-law that he died not long ago. Well, he died young, about 10 years ago he died. And we went to see a film the day before we were due back. Of course, we had that on our mind, you know, because Japan was at war and all. And we went to see a war film, and we were watching a submarine, and the submarine, you see people eating downstairs, and all the sun rang, like a torpedo come in. All the three of us jump up of our seat. So it was still playing on their mind, because normally, you know, it's a film. Yes, you get that, you know, shock when you see a film, but you don't jump out of your chair, you don't. So, but it was still, and then especially we were frightened when they start making manoeuvres on the boat. So shaky. When there was only one machine guns and things like that, it wasn't bad. But then they made it like if they were attacked by aeroplane, by...